Gracious Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for allowing us to come into your house to hear your word, Lord. We thank you so much. We thank you for all your blessings, for the good crowd we had this morning, even for this Memorial Day. We had a good crowd, Lord. We thank you so much for that. We thank you for everything you do for us, Lord, and we thank you once again for the preaching that we heard this morning, both in this morning service and in Sunday school. Now, Father, as the pastor comes and brings us what you would have for us to hear this evening, we pray, Lord, that you'll fill him with the Holy Spirit. May your will be done in this service, and thank you for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
You'll keep your Bibles open there to Luke chapter 15. Are you glad you're saved?
Yeah.
Were you before I asked you? You know, when you ask that question, it's a good question to ask, but it's, well, of course I am. Is your heart glad to be here in church? Do you love your church? Do you love what God's doing in your life right now? Do you want to serve God because He's given you so much? I preached a message a couple of months ago called How to Be a Joyful Christian. And this was my text. Moreover, in Deuteronomy 28, just listen, you stay in Luke 15. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed. Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep His commandments and His statutes which He commanded thee, and they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seed forever. And this is because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. As we look at Luke chapter 15 tonight, God says, I want to draw your attention to your attitude. Everybody here has something to rejoice over. All of us have things to be glad over, but it doesn't come naturally. Do you understand? You do have to, it's like I tried to preach to you this morning. Everybody needs memorials. Okay? A Christian memorial. All of us need places where we remember what God's done for us and how God's worked in our life. God says here, as we start looking at Luke 15, I love the stories. You're introduced here. Jesus speaks of a man having 100 sheep. He loses one. He goes into the wilderness. He finds it. And then he uses the word, he comes again with the lamb on his shoulders, rejoicing. And then in verse 8, there's a woman that has 10 pieces of silver. She loses one piece and she lights a candle and sweeps the house and seeks. And then she finds it. She calls her friends and her neighbors together saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. And just in case you miss it, the rest of the chapter is Jesus giving an illustration of the lost being found. It can be applied to someone who was a child of God and then they got away from the Lord and they come back to the Lord. Or it can be applied to someone who was lost and never saved and they get saved. You say, are you sure? Well, when you read, well, we'll read down through here, but watch this. Look at verse number 24, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Look at verse 32. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive. You say that's a lost person. Doesn't it say in 1 Timothy chapter 5, she that liveth in pleasure while she lives is dead. She's dead. Pleasure-oriented people. Their life's verses, are we having fun yet? Where's the volleyball game? If people who live for pleasure, God says, are dead on the inside. It's not talking about being lost. It's talking about having a dead spiritual life. Their spiritual life's a joke because all they live for is the next game. Okay? Here, we'll see this. Well, let's go to the start of the story here. A certain man, verse number 11, had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, give me the... Look, we're associated with the first son. I think both sons had major problems. Major problems. It's just, it was sooner found out in the first son. But I think both of them had issues, spiritual issues that needed to be dealt with. And God's going to show us both of them here. Watch this. I know that this is a part of the story that many know, but let's read it together here. I'll just follow along with me. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Do you know what the word prodigal means? The word prodigal means one who wastes his inheritance. We've been taught that the word prodigal means one who leaves and comes back. At that verse right there is where the prodigal son became a prodigal. When he wasted his inheritance. When he wasted his living. The word prodigal, when you look it up, means given to extravagant expenditures. Expending money or other things without necessity. Profuse, lavish, wasteful, not frugal or economical. A man may be, or a woman may be prodigal of their strength, of their health, of their life, of their purity, as well as their money. There's many factors in your life that you can waste of things that God has given you that can make you a prodigal. Okay? So here, he wastes his substance with riotous parties. So at this point, he becomes a prodigal. Verse number 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And you'll notice this. The world likes you as long as you have something to spend on them. Oh, you don't have any more money for drinks? Oh, okay. Well, we'll go mooch off somebody else. And when everything was spent, he began to be in want. So now he's wadded up like a piece of paper and thrown in the trash can, like what the world does to you when it's done using you. Then, verse number 15, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. Just think with me, just for a second. It doesn't say with the corn that the swine ate. It doesn't say with, it means corn husk. A husk is a corn husk with the corn gone. So you're going to suck on a husk. Isn't that a blessing? He's at the bottom, feeding swine, living under the pig stink. Amen. My grandpa had pigs, and they stink. He's living in their shack and eating corn husks. He's at the bottom. God has ways of breaking us. And would fain have filled his belly with the husks as the swine did eat. Verse number 17, and when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." You want one of the ingredients it takes to come back to God after you've strayed, after you've wasted your living that he gave you? Humility. Humility. God doesn't treat us that way, but the attitude of God, I'm not even worthy to be called your son. You know what I find a lot of people? The basis of all servitude, the basis of all serving in a church is a humble attitude. And anytime we get proud, we don't want to serve anymore. Do you understand? Or we get this attitude, which is just as dangerous, by the way. I'm the only one that's doing anything around here. That's dangerous. It's dangerous. Nobody is a Cinderella here. Amen? You know, and everybody else is the ugly stepsisters. You know what I mean? Ha! Missed a spot. Vacuum again. Nobody here. This isn't a Cinderella story. But I have noticed this in my years in Christian service and serving the Lord. In watching Christians serve in church, anytime a Christian gets the attitude, "I'm the only one that does anything around here. Where's everybody else?" Instead of, "I'm serving the Lord. I actually get to give of myself. And God's letting me serve Him." When they gave all that money, David prayed the prayer, "Lord, who am I that, Lord, You would allow me to give to You?" What an attitude. There was a humility there. There was a humility there. Here, the prodigal son who has wasted his living is going to come back, and the first attitude to coming back to God is always one of humility. Then, verse number 20, and he arose and came to his father. I love this verse. This ought to be marked, and you ought to mark it and think about it. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Do you know why his father saw him? Because he was looking for him. He wasn't in the house waiting. Well, my son's gone astray, and hopefully he'll come back. I think every day, and I love this thought. I wonder if his father went out every day and looked at the path going out of the house and going, I wonder if today he's going to come back. I wonder, that's him. Is that? Maybe. And then he starts running. I wish you'd have in your Bible right there, notice the father runs to the son. The father runs to the son. The son's spent. He's tired. His life is spent in sin. He's weary. He's wore out. And the father runs to the son. What do you think about this? I love this thought. The only time God ever ran in the Bible is when he was coming to get me, when I was coming back to him. The only time God ever ran in the Bible is when he was open. It's you. I want to. Oh, it's good to see you. We have a loving God that waits for his children to return when they blow it. Amen? And he's always looking. I won't meet you where you're at. I will not defile myself. But anytime you want to come back, I'm waiting. I'm watching. Here, it says, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. Let's have a party. Let's rejoice. And God gives this picture here. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Before you start reading the prodigal son's story, look over at verse number 10. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels. It doesn't say the angels rejoice. It says in the presence of the angels. You know who's the happiest when a child of God comes back and says, you know what, the devil's a liar, and sin doesn't pay off, and I want Jesus, I want to get close to Him. You know what, as far as the one that rejoices the most in the presence of the angels, God, the Lord Jesus, is the one going, yes! He's glad to have us back. He's glad to have us back. Here, the father is having a party. Then, we start in verse number 25. I'm just going to leave before we read this, just listen closely. Some Christians leave and never come back. Some leave and come back. Some stay and never leave, but don't enjoy it while they're here. That's what the prodigal son's brother is going to teach us. Watch this closely. Verse number 25, and his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. What a phrase. Verse 28. And he was angry and would not go in. Would not go in. How do you respond to righteousness? Can you rejoice when others get right with God? And you know, it's real easy to do when a prostitute does it or a drug addict that we don't know does it. Amen? And I'm for everybody getting right. But how about the one you've known your whole life? That's this one here. How demonic And he was angry. No rejoicing. I don't even think there was any thought in him going, hey, that's my brother. It wasn't that. It's just the moment he found out his dad was throwing a party for his brother, I'm not even going in there. I don't even want to shake his hand. How demonic can it be for a Christian not to enjoy another Christian getting right with God? Something's wrong. And normally where it happens is when we've known them our whole life. Because if we lead a prostitute to Christ on Saturday and we bring them to church, we'll put up with a lot of the shenanigans as they display some old habits maybe, and they might need a wider aisle to walk down or something as they come to make their salvation public, and we'll gladly help them and watch them grow, unless we've known them our whole life. Oh, that person's trying to get right? I know about them. That's exactly what this pictures. It wasn't a drug addict. It wasn't a prostitute. It was somebody that was close that they had known. Can you enjoy the victory of others, or do you see it as losing an excuse for your sin? I cannot help but as I've read this and thought about it, why couldn't the brother get right and enjoy that his younger brother had come back? Can you enjoy it when others join the church? Well, I can as if I don't know them. I understand. We're dealing with growth right now. And it's exciting and it's wonderful. Honestly. I asked Brother Campbell, he rejoices with it. You move to a place where you don't have family and grandma and grandpa aren't down the street, and if your family's here, praise God. I think that's wonderful. I just don't know what that's like. I don't know what that's like to have Aunt Susie or Uncle Bob down the street. I don't know what that's like. I think it's great, but it's something my wife and I know nothing about. We did not choose the will of God based on where our family was located. Do you understand? And I don't have a problem with people who do. And I don't tell you that you shouldn't do that. I'm just going to let you know they're doing the same thing. They don't have one out. Nobody is from the East Coast in their family. Are they going to be welcome when they get here? I hope so. I hope so. I hope so. The older brother's anger is a sign that he didn't enjoy God. It's a sign that he endured in his heart, but no joyfulness and no gladness for what he had and not lost. Listen closely. Does the bigness of other people's sin make your sin appear small in your eyes? Have you quit trying to change and be more like Jesus because you really feel like you're not that bad anymore? He wasn't changing. He wasn't growing. He was going through the motions. He had reached a point, well, younger brothers left, it's time for me, and he was just going through the motions. Others brag about their sin, and they're sneaking, and they talk about what's critical and wrong instead of it breaking your heart. When was the last time you wept because you disappointed the Lord? When was the last time you wept because of your sin? Instead of, this is why comparing ourselves among ourselves isn't wise. Because we start thinking, well, I'm not bad as so-and-so. You're not supposed to compare yourself to anybody else. You're supposed to compare yourself to the Lord. Well, I disappointed so-and-so. You're not supposed to be worried about disappointing so-and-so. You're supposed to be worried about disappointing the Lord. You know one thing I'm looking forward to in heaven? I'll say it again. I'm looking forward to when I finally get to heaven. I'm looking forward to being out of this sinful flesh. And I'm not going to disappoint Him anymore. I'm looking forward to it. I don't long for death, but I am thinking heaven is going to be wonderful. Amen? He never... Watch this. Can I read you this? Watch this. Look at verse number 28. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, look at the statement. Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. You know what he's saying? This is what he's saying to his dad. I've served you, I've never done anything wrong, and I've never enjoyed any moment of being here. I've never had one joyful moment, I've never laughed, I have stuck it out, and I have gone through the motions, and you owe me. That was his attitude to his dad. To his dad. His dad didn't need straightening out. He needed straightening out. Because the next statement is, and as I read this, I thought of Christians that I know that stay in church and go through the motions, but they never enjoy what they're doing. They can't enjoy God. They don't enjoy it. They go through the motions. They know the songs. They don't even need to open the songbook because they've got them memorized. I open the songbook too. And I've got a lot memorized. I don't have them all memorized. Partly I open a songbook as an example. Amen? Not because I've got to see the words. However, I read this and I started thinking about Christians that have stuck it out in church, and I'm glad they haven't left church, so don't get me wrong. But there's a better way to live. There's a better way to live than going through the motions. I've kept the commandments. I haven't gone off and whored around. I haven't drunk. I haven't smoked. But I'm going to tell you something. I haven't enjoyed one moment of being here. I'd leave in a moment, but I've stuck it out. What an attitude. What an attitude. So let me get this straight. Because he was comparing himself to his younger brother, he lost his joy. He never experienced answers to prayer. Look what God tells him, or the picture of the father. Watch this, verse number 30. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Verse 31. And he, the father, or the picture of God, said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. I think that's one of the most precious verses in the Bible. What do you mean you haven't had fun being a Christian? You're always with me. God tells you that as a Christian. I'm always with you. I never leave you. What a God. When you've left me, I've never left you. I've never turned my back on you. And all, watch this, all that I have is thine. You know why you don't enjoy the Christian life? You know why you feel like you're sticking it out? Why you're just enduring to the end until Jesus comes? You know why you have a bad attitude? Because you've never asked me for anything. You could have had a fatted calf. I'd have gladly killed it for you, but you never asked. We could have had a party at any time. You're the son that stayed, but you never asked me. Because your attitude is so stinky. Amen? You never asked me, and you've never enjoyed being here. And I love what God is telling us here as far as in the story. That's not God's fault. That's not the dad's fault. It was the son's fault. You never asked me. As I see how misunderstood God is in this story. The son was wrong in his thinking. When I see the father say to the son, I'm always with you and everything I have is yours. You can have it. Romans 8:32, I'm reminded of. This is my freeloader verse. He that spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans 8:32 says, God is saying, I died for you. I gave you my son. What else would I not give you if you just asked me? Freely give us all things. What do you need tonight? I'm not asking as far as lavishly. I'm just saying, what needs do you have in your life? What are you concerned about that you can take to the Lord? Because God says He'll freely give it all to you. He'll freely give it all to you. Romans 8:32, what a beautiful prayer verse. Lord, I'm not scared to ask You for anything because You died for me. You gave Your Son for me. Now, Father, I'm concerned about this. And Lord, I'm scared about this. And Lord, could You work in this? And Lord, could You get involved in this? Because God, You told me to ask You. You said freely You'd give me all things. I'm just saying, what a wonderful prayer verse. Son, all that I have is Thine. All that I have. Your problem is, you've never asked. There's only three things in life that bring joy. Leading someone to Christ, watching your converts grow in the Lord, and answers to prayer. Answers to prayer. So let me ask you this. If I compare you to the elder son, not the prodigal son, the one that stayed. If I compare you, child of God, when was the last time you asked God for the fatted calf? If he'd throw a party for a prostitute that'd get right, or a drug addict that'd get right, what would he do for you that's never left? What would he do for you? The problem is you don't take advantage of it. And I don't want to get worldly and say, you need to party with God. I will say this, you need to be glad you're saved and enjoy you're saved. You've got things acceptable to you that worldly Christians don't have. And if you don't enjoy it, you start looking for it and start going, boy, you know, maybe they do have it better. Maybe the non-denominational rock and roll crowd with their filth and their non-separation and their new Bibles and all the garbage, maybe they do have it. They don't have it better. You've got more accessible to you. If you'll practice the separation that the Lord Jesus tells you, you're in His presence all the time and you've got full access to God. When was the last time you asked God for spiritual blessings? When was the last time you asked God for victory and strength? When was the last time you asked God to help you be a blessing? To where you can experience being used in someone's life. Lord, whatever I have, Lord, please help me meet someone else's need. Help me, use me in somebody else's life today. Help me help another Christian grow. Dear God, that brings joy. But if you aren't asking for it, you're like, I don't say all Christians, so I'm saying this carefully. You're like many Christians who are going through the motions. And you haven't left, and you don't have drugs on the burner, and you're not making meth in your basement. Amen. But your attitude is like the elder sons. You don't ask God for nothing. And you're doing what you're doing. I'm for duty. But child of God, my goodness. If you stay there, you can't rejoice when other people get right. You don't enjoy the Christian life. I call this sermon Lessons on Enjoying God from the Prodigal's Brother. It probably won't fit on a CD. It'll probably need to be a 2-CD set, not for length of sermon, but length of title. Did you know that, Christian, when Jesus tells you in this story, all that I have is thine, you have things that others don't have. You're never supposed to be wanting what the world wants. You have God and His guidance. They don't. You have God's presence. They don't. You have God and His goodness. They don't. You have God's truth. They don't. You're taught God's standards. They're not. God says you're ever with me. God says you have full access to me. You forgot about me, but you're always with me. You don't enjoy me, but you're always with me. You never ask me any questions, but you're always with me. You don't see my protection, but you are always with me. In Matthew 18, I find this, all that I have is thine, and thou art ever with me. When I read Matthew 18, when the forgiven servant would not forgive his fellow man, I love what God gives us in this picture. Don't just listen to it. Matthew 18:32. Then his Lord, after he had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt. Listen, because thou desirest me. When I look up the word desire, it means the gaining possession of an object or person from which pleasure or satisfaction is expected. God said, I saw your heart. Yes, I did get saved because I didn't want to go to hell, but I soon started learning about this loving God that would actually die in my place. And God said, you experienced my forgiveness because you desired me. You wanted me. That's God talking to us. You wanted me. You're excited about being a Christian. You should enjoy your obedience. It's not, look at all the things I can't do. I can't drink, can't smoke, can't cuss. I can't, oh my goodness, did you also know? Do you know what you don't have that they have? You got a clean conscience when you get up in the morning. You don't have to wonder, oh, I hope nobody finds out what I did last night. Wow, what a way to live. I get to smile while I shave. Amen. I'm not going, boy, I really hope that they... Oh, my goodness, I can't... Have you ever watched people? You got to live with yourself. Amen. Got to live with yourself. Proverbs 8:19-16 says this, you should enjoy your obedience. He that keepeth the commandment shall keepeth his own soul. But he that despiseth his ways shall die. Guilt will kill you. He that despiseth his ways shall die. God said, don't violate yourself. Don't do what you know is wrong. Because you have to go home with you. I love this verse, Proverbs 14:14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied, I love this, from himself. I live with me. There's reasons I don't do certain things. Why? Because Gospel Light Baptist Church rules told you not. No, because God told me not to, and I decided I'm not going to live that way. He shall be satisfied of himself. There's a joy that ought to come from your obedience. It should not be, I don't get to do this, and I don't get to do this, and good grief. All we get to do around here is go out to eat. I heard one Christian say that. Want to go out to eat today after church? Well, yeah, that's pretty much all we can do. Good grief. That was really their attitude. Yeah, let's find a buffet and poke the pie hole premierly.
Amen.
That is a lot of fun, but I got news for you. That's not my attitude as a Christian, amen? No, Christianity is more than just as far as enjoying that. Some Christians' attitudes, it's like the elder sons. Proverbs 19:23 says this, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. And he that hath it shall abide satisfied. Has what? What satisfies you? The fear of the Lord. The fear of God. No, I don't do that because I know if I blow it, God's going to spank me. Amen? But the fear of the Lord says those that have it abide satisfied. Abide satisfied. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you tonight, Christian, you can enjoy your obedience. You can enjoy the fact that you're an independent, fundamental Baptist. You can enjoy the fact that you go to a separated Baptist church. I don't have to wonder. I can praise God for it. I should enjoy my heritage. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Do you enjoy your walk with God? Tomorrow's Memorial Day, and I know for most it's picnic day. And so while you're at it, cook a sausage for me, please. Okay? I will let you know this. I preached a sermon this morning called A Christian's Memorial Day. There ought to be some things I hope you're thinking about tomorrow while you're frying hamburgers. But there also ought to be a time tomorrow. Thank God I'm saved. I'm so glad I'm in an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, soul-winning Baptist church. God, you've been good to me. Then I hope your mind goes to Romans 8:32, like the elder sons didn't. Dear Lord, you've given me everything. And all that's yours, you said, is mine. And I can take my needs anytime. Watch this. I love to see you smile. The elder son couldn't when the younger son came back. And I just thought, I know some Christians that are that way. They're miserable people. And I feel sorry for them, but that's their choice. They've chosen not to pray. They've chosen not to rejoice in God. They've rejoiced. I love, the Lord's blessed us with a beautiful place. I love walking out there in the morning along the washout valley there, and I love walking around, and I love our the piece of property the Lord's given us. I just praise God for. But I love to walk around there and pray and talk to God. Oh my goodness, has He been good to me? I just testify, and I don't deserve none of it. Not one of it. I'm just amazed. I sit out in that swing with my Bible, and I'm looking at things, and I'm thinking, dear God, you've been good to me. You've been good to my family. I praise God for His goodness. And you know what? At the end of the sermon tonight, I'd like you to be able to praise God for His goodness. You're not one that's just sticking it out, are you? Well, no, I ain't lived like no whore, I ain't done drugs. I didn't ask you that. Are you enjoying being saved? I want you to. If I use somebody for an example tonight, I could use any of the old timers. Do you understand? I love hearing Brother Dorsey say, "The Lord just did a wonderful work in my life and my wife's life." I love hearing people talk about, you know, the greatest day of my life is when I got saved. You can ask a Brother Wilkins, you can ask a Brother Shoemaker, you can ask a Brother Campbell, you can ask. I just love hearing them talk. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad God's been good to me. You know what? That's a good sign. That's a good sign. That means they're not sticking it out to the end, trying to endure and hold on till Jesus comes. They're actually enjoying it. The elder son, lessons learned from the brother of the prodigal. Let's pray. Father, I thank You. Thank You that You're ever with me. And all that You have, You said, is mine. And Lord, where I struggle, when I get selfish, I complain, and my murmuring, Father, thank You that You always take me back. When I disappoint You, thank You for Your precious blood. I pray that You'd bless these people tonight. Lord, as we've looked in Your Word, I wish for each one of them to hear Your voice say, "Son, Thou art ever with me, and all that I have is Thine." I just need to ask the question tonight, is there someone here? You say, "Preacher, I don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'd like to, but I don't have the peace in my heart that I'm saved." Is there anybody here like that? Then, child of God, the piano's going to play, we're going to stand, and we can have an altar call if the Lord's dealt with you or touched your heart about something. Are you enjoying God like you should? Are you enjoying the Lord? The piano's going to play. Let's all stand. The altar's open. Son, Thou art ever with me, and all that I have is Thine. How long has it been since you've taken a need that you have to God? You say, "Lord, I'm asking You for this, and I'm asking You for this." That's part of enjoying Christianity. A Christian should enjoy answers to prayer every day. We have not because we ask not. The only reason God hasn't given is because we haven't asked. How's your attitude, child of God? It's not like the older brothers, is it? God rejoiced when you got saved. God was so glad when you trusted Him as your Savior. Are you glad you're saved? Are you glad He saved someone like you? Amen? Son, Thou art ever with me, and all that I have is Thine. Enjoying your salvation, enjoying being a Christian. Father, thank You for tonight. Thank You for Your Word. Please, You said You'd call things to our remembrance of the Scripture, and I pray that please, You'd help us to remember. We have so much more than what the world has. And Father, thank You for each person here tonight. Thank You for our church. Thank You for Your Word.